Weeds shake and shrivel at the thought of expert lawn and garden advice. Here at Rosie on the House, scare your lawn straight by dialing 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
We'll start this segment in Tucson with Patty. Welcome to the program. You're on Rosie on the House.
Good morning. I'm calling because I have a Nazi HOA that has decided all mistletoe must be removed from the trees.
Okay.
And first we're planning to go and talk with them and point out that 40-some-odd of HOA-maintained trees all have mistletoe. And it's actually a part of the desert. And it is food for a little bird and all of those things. But meanwhile, wondering how to best remove some of it. Our tree is a very mature tree, so it's very, very large. It's one of the thorny mesquites. And a lot of it's way up in the top of the canopy, of course.
Yeah. Well, you have to prune it out. I mean, there's really no other way to get rid of it. And as you mentioned, it's in a precarious spot, so you may have to hire an arborist or somebody that's got the proper tools or is willing to climb the tree to get in a position to safely remove it. That's really your only option other than doing the political thing and see if you can fight it out and get an exemption to waive that bylaw or covenant in your HOA CC&R. So I don't know what to tell you. There's no easy answer there, is there? But pruning it out is really your only option.
And as you'd mentioned, it's in a precarious spot. I mean, even with ladders and pole saws, you're probably not going to make great cuts. And
it's probably a job you really need to have somebody come do. You know, if it's up in a very mature big tree and you get up on those limbs that are not safe to be climbing in, and you know, maybe there's a way they can get to it with a cherry picker or a lift, depending on where the tree is. So that would, you know, make it a lot safer. But they've got the right tools and the right procedures and the right way to attack that. Heck, maybe they can just do the whole HOA. Sounds like there's a bigger project there than just
her
one tree.
Get a group buying discount.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
We'll keep fighting the good fight, Patty. Let's go to TJ, and as we clear a line, that opens a line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. TJ, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Real good.
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering, I'm going to rock my front yard, and my question is just is it a good idea to lay plastic down, or what's the way to go about that?
No, we don't use plastic. You know, back in 70s and 80s and maybe before that, we did use a lot of black 6-mil visqueen polyplastic under rock, and it's been determined that that's really not the most environmentally friendly thing to do. You really don't. If you want to use anything at all, you can buy the weed fabric, which is breathable and water penetrable, and put it under the rock. Most of the time, we don't do anything anymore. And if you want to control the weeds, you know, a couple, 3 times a year, apply a pre-emergent herbicide, and that will do a much better job than the plastic will do anyway. And then you won't have the environmental issues that causes. Down the road, the plastic rips and tears, and it, you know, as the rock kind of decomposes, you got plastic showing through the rock, and it just becomes a mess.
If there was any kind of hill or mound, a good rain, you know,
or if you walk,
all the
it.
Rock washes off, and you're left with this black plastic on top. It was a nightmare.
It wasn't really a very good thing to do. It sure controlled the weeds.
Unless you were the plastic salesman.
Yeah, we sold lots of rolls of plastic. That's for sure.
We appreciate the call. It's 1-888-767-4348. Before we get to our next one, what else in the garden should we've got so many talking points. You mentioned at the beginning of the hour, we could spend the whole hour talking about every variety that we can plant right now. What else is on our bulletin?
Well, we've got, of course, we're starting to switch to summer warm season annuals. The sweet ornamental sweet potato vines are coming in, and zinnias and marigolds, vinca will be soon to follow. So, you know, starting to replant pots and beds, or if you're just planting now, you might want to think about how long things are going to last. A lot of perennials, the penstemons and pincushion flowers and the milkweeds. And there's another talk, you know, starting to plant for butterfly and pollinator attraction. So those, a lot of those plants are coming in now that you can be planting in the garden. Think about attracting pollinators and planting something pretty in the garden. So a lot of cool stuff this time of year. Just got a whole truckload of different perennials from some of our local growers the last couple of days, with blooming, you know, perennials, hummingbird and butterfly attractors, Mexican honeysuckles, and I mentioned penstemons and milkweeds and ice plants and all kinds of cool stuff.
And Cheryl, we've been talking a lot of this as it relates to people with yards, but one of the campaigns to plant something, y'all were talking just about the amount of container gardening that you could use for patio homes or apartment patios and the small space gardening.
Yeah, think about if you have an apartment, putting that beautiful container garden out there with some perennials, some annuals, whatever you can do. We're also doing a day, Jay mentioned pollinators. We're doing a Plant Something for Pollinators Day next month, and we're going to be talking about National Pollinator Week. And so think about if you want those pretty butterflies or you want to attract hummingbirds. You know, talk to your local nursery about what your goal is with your garden, and as Jay said, make sure that you accomplish those goals. And ask for your Arizona Certified Nursery Professional at that garden. They're trained in Arizona plants. They're trained to get you what you need.
And where is the Pollinator Day?
To be determined, but we're going to do that with the Arizona Department of Agriculture. We did one last year. We actually did it in a homeowner's backyard here in downtown Phoenix and really showed some of those plants that really do the best at attracting it. So we'll let you know exactly what that location is. We're still scouting out for the garden we're going to use this year.
We'll look forward to that. Y'all recently just had a day down at the Capitol, and Agricultural Day.
We did. We had a legislative luncheon down there. We always try to promote Arizona-grown agriculture in the broad aspect of that, the food providers, the beef, the cotton, and also talking about the ornamental horticulture plants. We have a huge agricultural base here in this state, and the Nursery Association is proud to be a part of that.
And you spend a lot of time going back to D.C. for different legislative lobbying. What are y'all working on right now?
You know, right now it's pretty quiet. We have a change of administration, and so we haven't it's been a couple of years since we've had to go back there, but we're always, you know, interested in labor issues. We have an intensive labor need for our entire industry. When you talk about nurseries, you talk about landscapers, there's definitely always a need for labor. So that's one of the things we're always listening out for.
Well, we appreciate y'all's time in here today. For the consumer, it's plant-something.org. Type in their zip code.
Type in your zip code. You'll get a whole list of our member nurseries right in your area. We just encourage you to go in there, like Jay said, with a picture, with a plan. Ask a lot of questions. The more you know about what you want, the better those certified nursery professionals can help you get what you need.
Yeah. Or what you don't want. I mean, make sure you tell them, I don't like orange flowers. You know, you need to know what you don't like and what your goals are and what your lifestyle is. You know, I mean, there's just two of us in the house, or we've got three little kids, or we've got four dogs. You know, I mean, we need to know all of that to make a plan that's going to work for your lifestyle and make your landscape work for you.
You had mentioned the Plant Something, what started as an Arizona project by the Arizona Nursery Association. You've moved to at least half the states, I think.
It did. We're at 24 partners in the United States, and our exciting news is Canada actually has joined in now. It's not quite up on the website, so if you're on there looking for it, we're still working on it. But the whole Canada has joined in as well. So we're hoping to really work on making it an entire national campaign for the nurseries to really plant something. Don't just stand there. Plant something.
And we obviously have a lot of listeners in Arizona that will go summer in these other states and in Canada that they can use this resource now
before
they
go home. They can start doing some homework and find out what they're going to plant this spring up in the Great North.
Yeah, so by the time they get home, we hope that part of the website will be up as well. So it won't just be a larger campaign.
And you know, the other thing, Rosie was talking about hiking, and you know, I did some pretty extensive yard work a couple weeks ago. If you want to work out, do about 3 or 4 hours of yard work, every so often, and see what muscles you haven't used in a while. I thought I was in pretty decent shape. I'm outside working outside every day, and man, I couldn't stand up straight for a couple of days. So, great exercise, great fresh air, and then the feeling of having this great accomplishment when you're done too. And of course, it doesn't hurt that your neighbors look over and go, "Wow, that yard looks great."
There is something for that good physical tired, though. I mean, you're talking about not being able to walk a couple of days, but there is something rewarding about that muscle sore tired.
Hand Jay this note. That's an address you can continue your workout routine.
If you really feel you need more exercise.
You don't
exercise,
even have to bring your own tool. All the tools will be out for you already.
And I don't even think I made a dent in mine. So, but when I'm done, I'll come over.
Well, we have a yard property large enough. You can't pre-emerge everything. And we're getting the tractor with the bush hog out this weekend. We've got those California cheese weeds that our kids could get lost in.
Oh, they get big.
They're chest
quick.
High out on the where the wash goes through the property.
Okay.
No, for more than anything, just snake control.
Yeah, good hiding places for that, too. So, yeah, depending on where you live, there's another good reason to keep the weeds and the growth down is so you don't stumble across an unwanted visitor.
Frank in Tucson's next on the line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888. Rosie, for you, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
How are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
I really enjoy your program. Two fast questions. I have an old tangerine tree. It's about 30 years old. It's still producing lots of tangerines. A guy came in the other day, and I was talking to him. He was working in my yard, and I have mulch down there. It's a 10-foot well. The tree is about 15 feet high, and I have a 10-foot well there, and it's just dirt. And he said I should put some mulch inside there. What's your recommendation?
Well, I like mulches. I think mulches, you know, they serve several purposes. But, number one, they will control weeds.
That's good. Okay.
They also will hold some moisture around the ground in the ground, and
especially for the hot season. Yeah.
Yeah, going into the hot weather, it can reduce your water consumption and have the plant actually tolerate longer stretches of drought better. And they look good. And some of them smell good. You can get a red cedar bark mulch that smells really good, looks good, controls weeds, helps build organic material back into the soil, and actually acts as an insulator for the soil, for keeping the soil cooled down, keeping the roots cooled down, helping the plants process and use water more efficiently. So I'm a big, big, big fan of organic mulches and compost in the garden.